Hey there, this is Emily Hoover, and we are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you moms, and happy Mother's Day to all of your moms as well. We are so thrilled that you chose to come and spend some of your morning here celebrating this day with us. And I want to be very careful to say it's not the day itself necessarily that we're celebrating, as much as we appreciate it. It just gives us the excuse to celebrate motherhood, because, man, regardless of what kind of joy or junk is attached to a day like today, motherhood was God's idea in the beginning, and that alone makes it worthy of celebration. In fact, that's what we want to do this morning. We want to take some time to go back, and by back, I mean way back to the origins of motherhood, to get a sense of what God might have had in mind, if we dare, when he created momhood, because it's ultimately him that we want to celebrate this morning. So again, welcome, and thank you so much for being a part of this morning. If you have a copy of the Bible, you can meet me in Genesis chapter 1, like way back, Genesis chapter 1, right at the beginning of the Bible. We are going to work our way through the creation story. If you've been around here for any amount of time, you know that we are borderline obsessed with the creation account, how God brought everything that is into existence. And so we get to just journey through this story, making pauses and observations as we work our way through, starting at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Here it goes. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So right away, we get introduced to Creator God. Creator God. And by the way, if you believe this first verse, the rest of life will make sense mysteriously. Life has a source and life has a starting place. God is a creator who created all things on purpose for a purpose. It is not accidental. It's not coincidental. It's very strategic. Creator God. Verse number 2. Now, the earth as we know it was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Because apparently God isn't just creator God, he is an extremely creative God. Because how many of you know that he can make a canvas out of anything? The vast and complex reality we now know as the universe, it started with a chaotic canvas of darkness and formlessness and emptiness and voidness. And God said, I can work with that. Because he's creative like that. And so I say, I dare you to show me something in your life that looks or feels too broken or too meaningless or too dark or too empty or too void. Because what you call brokenness, God looks at it and says, I can work with that. He's creative. And he shows that off here in the beginning. And he does it in unmatched style, by the way. Because who thinks to paint a creation reality with the brush of your words? That's uber creative, which is exactly what God does. Verse number 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. That is pretty powerful if you ask me to just speak words. Words. And bring realities into existence that previously did not exist with his words. I love that. And I love, by the way, the tone of Genesis chapter 1 here and verse 3. God is not frantic. God is not frazzled. God is not frenetic. He just gently speaks words. And chaos turns into order, and darkness turns into light, and formlessness turns into purpose and structure by simply speaking the words. Because I don't know if you knew, but he is a speaker God. He's not just a creator God and a creative God. He is a speaker God. And what you would labor to try and carry out to no avail, God can do by simply speaking the word. God said, and what God said was exactly as it was, as he calls things into existence. Ooh, verse number 4. God, he saw that the light that he had created was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Man, this is so cool. God named the light day and the darkness night. Because if you made it, you have naming rights. You can call it whatever you want to call it. And whatever you call it, that is what it is going to be called. And I don't know if you picked up, it's not just creator God and creative God and speaker God. Apparently, he is a cheer God as well. I love that aspect that is easy to miss. Because God seems to be having a blast creating this world that we now know. He's loving what he's doing, and he is loving what he has done. And at the end of the first day of creation, as is going to be true, after every day, it's like God lets out this sigh of pure satisfaction and just kind of hypes himself up like, so good. Like he studies over the work that he had just pulled together with his creative words, and he just is like, it's so good. And he gives himself like a slow clap, a cheer at the end of this day. He just appreciates and applauds the good, because it looked exactly in reality as he imagined it in his mind before he spoke the words to bring it into existence. Then day 2, verse number 6. And God said, let there be a vault. I want to see video of this. He said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. And so God made the vault and separated the water under from the water above. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. Now he's going into sorter mode. I don't know if you knew this, but he is apparently also a sorter God. I didn't know this aspect of God so well until I looked through this, and then you start to see throughout the entirety of Scripture. He is a sorter God who loves to sort things, but apparently Exodus was not the first time God split a sea. I want to see video of this. I'm saying just imagine that all of the water covering the face of the earth, whatever that looked like, splits. And half of it goes above and creates like this strange like water ceiling roof situation. And the other half stays below. Wow. Hovering roof of water over the earth. I have no idea what that looked like when the sky was just like water up there. This funky biodome that God is creating as he sorts and arranges his creation. And he's saying, you water, I want you up here, and you water, I want you down there. God doing some interior design, but he's not done sorting. Verse number 9, and God said, matter of fact, let the water that's under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so, because he said it. Verse 10, and God called the dry ground land, and he gathered waters, and he called them seas, and God saw that it was good. Now, I have no idea, like, was there ground under the water? Or did the ground come into existence when God moved the water out of the way? I don't know, but I want to see video footage of this because it's super cool. In either case, water gathers and there are bodies of water that he calls sea, and land emerges, and he calls it exactly that. These masses of dry land appear. And once again, God like lets out the sigh and cheers the good that he is doing. Verse number 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so, because he said it, verse 12, the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. Woo, great. Now, God has created this biodome, right? This greenhouse. He says, let's put some plants in this thing. I want plants. Yeah. With seeds in them. Yeah. Woo! And trees that make fruit. Yeah. With seeds in the fruit. Like, God apparently likes seeds quite a lot in this passage of Scripture. That's a lot of seeds, yeah. And the seeds will be miraculous. They will have everything in those little suckers to be able to create like a whole tree just like the one it came from and was hanging on before. It's miraculous what God is doing over here with the seed situation. They will be able to make big trees. Little seed will make a big tree with fruit, and the fruit will have seeds in the fruit, and those seeds will be able to make more trees with fruit with seeds in. Yeah. And he's just having a blast. And when he's done with the fruit seed, like little mini-me situation that is going on there, the creator speaker spoke the words, right? And then, boop, 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 like trees, plants, like stuff just emerges out of the ground in this crazy biodome with a big water ceiling above the heads of these plants. All kinds of trees and plants, fruit and miracle seed and magical ability to reproduce plants and trees just like the ones they came from. As he says, according to their kind. God was loving life, gives himself cheers again. Oh, man. So God's biodome is now taking shape, right? I mean, the sea and the land and the plants. And then verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on earth. And it was so, because God said so. Verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. He did that. And God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw, so good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And I'm just confessing, I have no idea how this worked. Like the big light that governed the day and the lesser light that governed the night, like, is that the sun? Is that the moon? Because if that was the sun, like, how do you hang a sun in a water canopy, though? It seems like that would be a conflict of interests. I don't know. But if it wasn't the sun, then how did the biodome stay lit? And how was there morning and evening and day and night the first 3 days? Like, I don't know. What was that light? Was it the glory of God? And did you dim it at night? You dimmed your glory? I don't know. I'm not here to answer your questions. Let's not get distracted. Let's get back to the point. I'm just saying, pretty amazing. Either way, God is using his words to hang some non-fluorescent recessed lighting in the water canopy, and he's just decorating the place. And then when he's done, slow claps. Because he loved how his lights lit the dome. He's thrilled with it. And he said that it is so good. Day 5, God had to have enjoyed this so much. As he starts to create now little funky mobile creatures that can now move around on their own reconnaissance in this biodome. Verse number 20, and God said, let the water just teem with living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the waters teem and that move about in it according to their kinds and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, cheering a little bit. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the 5th day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds and livestock, the creatures that move along the ground and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so, because God said so. Verse 25, God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. He cheered for himself one more time. Day 5, God goes crazy, like creating, you know, fish and birds and cows and chimps and Pumbas and Simbas. And just like the trees and the plants, he gave them these magical powers to reproduce little like critterettes, little Simbaettes, little Pumbaettes, you know, according to their kinds that looked just like them. In fact, he blesses all the creatures and he says, have at it. Make millions of mini-yous according to your kinds. And then the light in the dome dimmed on day number 5. And I know exactly what you're thinking at this point. You are thinking, this is the best Mother's Day message I have ever heard in my life. And I'm like, you're welcome. You are welcome. Anyway, in case you missed it, to review. So God has spent 5 days speaking and creating and naming and sorting and hanging and arranging and filling and cheering and sorting and arranging and filling and smiling and cheering and speaking and making and sorting and arranging and filing and moving and filling and doing all of this. And there is a word in our culture that describes what God had been doing for 5 days. You know what it is? I'll tell you. Nesting. Nesting. Happy Mother's Day. I don't know if you knew that God is a big old nester. Just nesting. This is amazing to me. For 5 days, the God of eternity is getting this massive bio room ready for his babies. He's nesting. Oh, don't you dare skip over God's interior decoration and design and all that he's getting prepared as he gets the bio nursery ready for his kids to come home. He's nesting. Verse number 26. It would have been great, by the way, if like, this is so crass to say, like if it rained, I don't know, like if, anyway, water broke. But anyway, nothing like that happened. Here's what I'm saying. Shh, focus, focus. So easily distracted. Verse number 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Woo-wee! What's he doing now? I'm about to creep some of y'all out, but you recover. There's a word for what God is doing in verse 26, and you find it in our biological textbooks, and you find it in this passage, and it will creep you out, but you'll be fine. He's reproducing. He's reproduced. Listen, it's not my fault you missed that in your children's story Bibles growing up if you grew up in the church. I missed it too, but it's not too late to catch up. God is reproducing. I mean, you've seen his work. You were here for the last 10 minutes as we looked at God's work. This should surprise no one. For the better part of days 3 and 5, God has been saying the same thing. Matter of fact, let's look at day 5 again, verse 24. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. The livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so, verse 25, God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. So good, matter of fact, that God is like, let's do it. Let's create one according to our kind. God is reproducing in his image, in his likeness, according to whose kind? His kind. Verse number 26, little mini-me's who look like us, little gods. They can think like us, they can speak like us, they can love like us, they can create like us, they can enjoy things like us. They can rule like us. Look again, verse 26. And God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Ooh, I wish we had time to talk about your little funky miracle. Like locked up in you, like your little, like a God seed, like everything. It's just like, anyway, we'll come back to that here in a little bit. This is absolutely incredible what God is doing. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Let them rule. Why? Because that's what we do. So let them rule down there in that biodome on our behalf. Who else should represent us in that world if not the ones who are made like us? Verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. Says it again in case you missed it. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So Adam and Eve, they wake up to the world as the only two beings who look like God, made out of the same stuff God is made out of. In case you want to know why God is obsessing over seeds and what they look like and what they have in them and what they're able to reproduce and according to their kinds, we want to make sure that we start a pattern. Made to resemble God. That's crazy, by the way. Verse number 28. God blessed them, just like he had the rest. And he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Adam and Eve were created and then they were called to represent God as little gods in the world. To resemble him, yes. To rule for him, yes. To reproduce like him, yes. And to ultimately represent him. Just like the plants, just like the trees, birds, animals, the fish, and like himself. Reproduce according to my kind. And then represent me in your word. Happy Mother's Day. All that to say, when Eve, the first mom, stepped onto the scene, that was her calling. You resemble me. Now represent me in the world of your kids so they can learn what I'm like through you. And so they can learn how to represent me in their world according to my kind. Eve shows up, and just like Adam, she has the role of representing God in her world. In fact, that's the order he gives. Reproduce and represent. Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms. You are a goddess called to be just like your God to your kids. Just like Creator God. Your Creator Mom. I don't know if you knew that. And we celebrate that today. You were designed to have an ability to miraculously carry seed and create a little God-like life that did not exist anywhere before it existed in you. You're a creator, Mom. Designed to create little God-like beings. I'm just saying, if you pause and ponder that reality, it is mind-boggling. And we celebrate that glorious miracle today, just like your God. You're not just a creator mom, you're a creative mom. Creative, because you could read what to expect when expecting, and you could take every Lamaze class. Prepare you for the monsters that live under your children's beds in the middle of the night. And you have to figure out how that works, and no one told you what to do, but all the creativity that emerges out of you as you kiss boo-boos away and make them better, like it's just majorly creative. Like no one taught you that. It's creative. It's beautiful, glorious creativity. I don't know how I knew to take those leftovers and make a feast, and my kids are calling me the chef goat all of a sudden around the house. Maybe that's just at my house. You did not have a PhD in being a single mom who has to play both roles, but you have found levels of creativity. The way you are making things work, there's no class for that. And by the way, we pause and we celebrate you single moms who are doubly representing God in the stories of your kids. Creative. Exhausted, but creative. Just like your God, you're a speaker mom, just like him. Simply speaks, and you are called to represent him with your voice. Oh, the weight of your words in the world of your kids. Mom, godlike. Godlike. The power to call things out of them like God. To tell them who they are long before they have any idea. Like God. To tear down strongholds and limitations in their minds like God, to cause dreams and hopes to come into existence in their little souls like God, to conjure comfort and to correct lies and to confer confidence like God with the words of your mouth. Woo! And when you speak like God in their stories, you get to represent him in powerful, beautiful ways to convince them to believe what God has said about them with your words. Oh, I can't say enough. Treat your words or your signing, however you communicate, or your texting, as if everything you speak will come into existence for your child exactly the way you spoke it. Can you imagine if we weighed words that way? And what I said became what it was, because I said it as a God-like representative in their story. Oh, the weight of your words in the world of your child. And man, some of us ought to pause right now and maybe even text our moms to celebrate the way that she used her words to create and cultivate glorious worlds in us. I pause and I celebrate my mom right now, who's probably watching. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Man, growing up, she used her voice to speak hope and truth and to call things out of me that I did not know were in there. And to speak words that convinced me that I could do things like I just did not feel like I could do. To speak words to convince me to keep going when everything in me wanted to quit. Now I'm talking more recently because my mom will still text me after sermons. And I'm like, I'm quitting. I'm never doing this again. And my mom, Kondo, the Lord used you so much to speak to me, you know. And the words of my mother's voice be like, all right, maybe I can keep going. And I celebrate her, and I celebrate all you moms who are using your voices to represent God in the stories of your kids. Just like God, you're a sorter mom. Man. So I'm just saying, mama, don't be surprised if chaos and all kinds of messiness drives you crazy. And don't be surprised if you are like God with miraculous ability to take chaos and bring it into order, even in the simplest ways. Like, I didn't even know there was a floor under there. You know, I thought it was just a sea of clothes all over sprune, all over the house that dad made. Maybe that's just at my house. Confessions from the Sinfuques. My kids, Dad, everything is going crazy. What would you like me to do? Tell us where Mom is. She'll know how to sort all of this mess out. Whatever. Things have a place, and life is ideal when things are put in their place. So excuse me while I sort things and I bring a little order out of this chaos. Okay. That's better. I don't know if you knew, like, some of those things are like, I didn't know that was me just representing God, being godlike in my world. Which I'm not sure that makes me in our house then. Just the resident devil dad. I don't know. Just like God, you're a ruler mom. You are a mini-me of God in your kids' world. And you don't have to tell them. They know you rule. They know. Oh, they will fight you, but they know that you are called to have dominion over your home, which is not the same as domineering over your home. No, it means the home is your biodome, your domain. So you're saying moms should stay home. Why are you trying to get me in trouble? I didn't say that. It is not the only domain, but it is the first domain. Not the only one. This means, man, you get naming rights to set the tone and the trajectory and the atmosphere and the agenda in your home and what you end up saying about it often becomes exactly what it is. You get to be God in your home. And just like God, which is weird to say in our cultural context, but like, you're a cheer mom, and you get to represent God as the cheer mom, just like God. You're called to represent him in cheering for what's good. Not only that, I think just like God, it's the call to represent him by finding and focusing on what is good. I love that God ended each day by looking over everything and celebrating the good. Woo! Represent him. So instead of like, and today was crazy, and then we did this, and then it's insane, and like, everything is nuts, and I'm done, and I just want to go to bed. Matter of fact, I just want them to go to bed, and then everything will be better, right? Like, there's truth to all of that, but the representing of God, how beautiful it was. If at the end of the day, it doesn't end with like, it was crazy, but the day ends with like, that was good. I found the good, and I focused on it, and I cheered for the good and what was beautiful in the story. Can you imagine the joy that would fill the dome in representing God that way? I'm just saying, to be a mom is to represent God in the stories of your children. Happy Mother's Day to all of you God representatives. The problem is that two chapters later, man's sin enters the story of humanity and it messes things up. It doesn't end the design, it just distorts it. Still designed like God to behave like God in the world, but sin enters the story and all of a sudden we are all now just prone to be really bad gods. To be broken representatives in the world. And now everything beautiful about being a mom representative of God is accompanied by brokenness. And the challenge begins. And so happy Mother's Day ends up being not so happy for everybody. Because brokenness enters into the representation of God in the story. And so now brokenness enters into the story of creative mom or creator mom, and which is why to this day, for some of you, Mother's Day is a brutal day of grieving. Because something in you knows you were designed to be able to create and carry life and introduce it into this world. Yet sin broke something in you that has not allowed that to work the way that it should. Brokenness has entered the story of you being creator. And tragically, the longing doesn't go away. I know what it's supposed to be. Deep inside, I know what it's supposed to be, but my body just will not cooperate. So don't come talking to me about Happy Mother's Day today. That's why for some of you, today reminds you of the devastation of the miracle of life created and carried and then lost all too soon. And it's just wrong. And the reason it's wrong is precisely because it's not how God originally designed it to be. It was never supposed to be like that. And without Genesis chapter 1, we wouldn't realize how broken things are because sin has now entered into the story. And by the way, we are a church that always wants to recognize the unspeakable ache of the way sin has entered into the story in your worlds. And so while we celebrate the glory of God's design, we also recognize the way that it has been broken. And while we realize that it's beautiful, we realize that it's also difficult. And while we realize that there is great reason to be grateful, there's also great reason to grieve. And we want to make sure this is always a place that makes room and space for both of those things. Sin enters the story and it breaks things. And all of a sudden, creative mom, like, I'm very creative, yes. But man, creativity can turn on me in a dime, and it can turn into this unwarranted worry. I don't mean to stereotype in church, but no one worries like a mom. My word. Has anyone seen him? Has anyone seen him? Has anyone seen him? Where is he? Has anyone seen him? What do you mean? Like, I don't know. But what if a prehistoric dragon came from Middle Earth and it just took him to a fiery room that's just clothes strewn everywhere, and it's absolute massive chaos. And it's like, Mom, he's in the bathroom. He's been in the bathroom for 2 minutes. And he's 26 years old. I don't care. He'll always be my baby, and it's a bad world out there, right? It is amazing. Creativity can turn on you and torment you with all kinds of crazy realities about things that haven't happened and may happen and may not. I'm sorry. You think all of that, maybe that's just my house. You think all of that happens to our children in the 3 minutes we've been backing out of the driveway? It's very creative. Very, very creative. And some of you grew up with moms whose creativity was deception, and their creativity was accusation. They came up with things that you did that you didn't do, and their creativity was worry, because sin enters into the story, and it distorts the representation of God in the world. It steps in, and man, speaker mom is now broken. And man, when the speaker is broken in the story, it can be wounding. That's why for some of us, today represents the wounds of words spoken by moms who are just careless with the weight of their words. And so you were never good enough, and you heard it over and over again, and you're still striving and never quite feeling like you can accomplish enough, because sin broke the voice, and what came out was disruptive. Or, you can't do it without me. You need me. And that was the voice, and that was the message. So you still have trouble being independent, and you need to get sign-off or approval, and uncertain about everything because of it. Or you heard how physically flawed you were, and so, man, your body feels like a curse. Or you were told how physically perfect you were, and your body feels like a curse, because I've got to maintain that level of physical perfection otherwise, because of the weight of words. It may not even have been the thing said, it was the volume and the tone, as voices were frantic and frenetic and raised really loudly. Mom didn't just say, Mom screamed and scared and threatened. And now I can't believe someone who just speaks to me. I have a hard time just believing words because someone spoke them. Sin enters a story and it messes up the ways that God designed moms to represent him in the stories of their kids. And sorter mom, who's designed in many ways to help bring order out of chaos, and instead looked at the chaos and knew the order that God called to be brought there, but said, I'm not going to bring order out of this chaos because I'd rather be friends with my kids. And I know that if I move things to the appropriate places, not everybody's going to be happy, so I'm just going to. And now you are living in the chaos, because things were not sorted as they should have been early on. Or, man, ruler mom. When ruler mom is messed up or broken by sin, she rules with an iron fist, using ruling power to oppress little souls and crush dreams and ruin trajectories and to impose the will and remind you that I'm bigger than you. And for some of us, today represents memories we carry of being bullied and bulldozed and belittled by mom. There was no room for your voice. There was no room for your thoughts. Because the minute you say, I'm just trying to, are you sassing me right now? I'm just literally trying to express my pain. You do not speak back to me. And that's been the end of that. Your mom was a god who domineered and devastated dreams with her power to rule. And now you're a grown woman, a grandma even. And you see your mom's number show up on that caller ID and you're like, it still has traumatic effect when sin enters a story and distorts the role of a ruler in the home. And man, cheer mom, my word. For some of us today reminds us that we have to spend time with someone today who will spend time reminding us of all that's wrong and all that's chaotic. And oh, you're hosting this year too. So while I'm up here talking, you just remembered you left an envelope on the counter. And when she sees that, she has learned to find and focus on what is wrong and what is broken instead of cheering what is good. And you're freaking out because nothing can be out of place. Otherwise, that is all we are going to hear about. Somebody please remember to iron Tommy's collar because she'll see it. Don't tell me Happy Mother's Day like it's a day to celebrate. It's a day to survive. I could never. She will find what's wrong. In fact, you try and pay me a compliment right now as an adult woman, and you will watch me like Neo Matrix dodge that sucker because it has no place in my life. I'm not used to being cheered for. Moms are extensions of God in the stories of their kids, representative of God's creativity, his compassion, his love, and then sin enters the story. But thankfully, God had a solution for the sin that entered the story, because sin broke our relationship with God. It created distance and enmity that we could not mend. And so God, in his great grace, at high cost to himself, he sent his son who gave his life to make a way for us to be redeemed, for us to be returned into relationship with God. And through the cross and through the gospel, we don't just call him creator now, we call him Father. We now call him Abba Father. We now call him our perfect parent, not because of creation, but because of adoption. Because God chooses to include us in his family through the high price of his son. Now I'm talking to you who are not parents. You're not moms because of biology. You're not moms because of conception. You are moms because of choice. You are moms because of adoption. You are moms because of foster care. You are moms who said, we choose to represent God in your story. And we celebrate you today for that choice that represents the gospel that applies to all of us and the ways that you get to be representative of God in those stories. We celebrate you moms who said, I'm going to be like spiritual mom in the sense that I am going to represent God in the story of someone who has no idea what a perfect God looks like. And I'll imperfectly represent him in that story. And we celebrate you today. So happy Mother's Day to you today, whether it represents brokenness and grief or it brings beauty and all the gratitude of that. We see you, we celebrate you, we love you, regardless of what today means. And the main reason we get to celebrate is because, I don't know if I mentioned this, but God, moms are representatives of God. I don't know if I mentioned that. Broken, imperfect representatives of God. Moms are representatives of God, but ultimately, moms are just representatives of God. That's why we get to celebrate today. Because there is only one perfect parent, and it is God himself. What an amazing thing for a mom to be able to step into a day like this and say, I have failed as a mom. I can't make it as a mom. I can't do it as a mom. I've let my kids down as a mom, but there is a perfect parent and I can take all of my failures and lay them at his feet. What a great thing to know that my mom failed me and my mom let me down and my mom wounded me in ways that I'm reminded of today, but I can take all of that brokenness to the only perfect parent who is God and lay it at his feet, and he can handle that as well. Moms are representatives, but there is a God who is perfect. There is a parent who is perfect. And what an amazing thing for mom to continue to remind kids, listen, I'm trying, but I am not, but I can't tell you enough, like, go to him. He's the ultimate parent. Run to him. He's the ultimate creator. Go to him. He's the ultimate sorter. He's the ultimate healer. I'm pointing you in his direction. And this morning, that's what we want to do. We want to celebrate the God who is the perfect parent and bring all of our stuff, whether it's our failures, whether it's our wounds, whether it's our bruises, whether it's our joys, and just lay them at his feet to acknowledge you are the perfect parent. And it's you we ultimately celebrate. And for some of you moms, beating yourselves up, what an incredible reminder of the grace that is the perfect parent. And you can bring all of that to him, thanks to Jesus. Matter of fact, we're going to take a little bit of time right now. When you came in, you received a tag that looks like this. And a pen. Hopefully, you can go grab one if you need to. And we just want to take time as the band is going to play for a couple of moments, maybe 90 seconds or so, and then we'll sing a song as we head on out. And this is just designed for you to just, what do you want to say to the perfect parent? Or what do you want to say about your imperfect parent? This is just an opportunity to express gratitude or to express grief. And then we're going to go out there on our way out and just stick it up on a board. You're going to see it there. And it's just your way of laying it at the feet of the perfect parent who is God. Someone said, Mama, I miss you. Say hi to Jesus for me. Missing a parent. Lay it at his feet. Someone said, my wife puts our kids above her own needs and sacrifices for them. Thank you for the way that you represent God in the story of our kids. You can lay that at his feet. I don't know what you have to say. Mom, I understand sacrificial love because of you, and I'm praying for your recovery. And that's what's on your heart today. And you can lay that at the feet of the perfect parent. I'm sad that my mother-in-law doesn't get to experience our life in Winona Lake. And I lay that heaviness at the feet of the perfect parent who's with us, even here. So it doesn't have to be complicated. But what does today represent? Grief, gratitude, beauty, brokenness? Just write a phrase. And then we get to leave it at his feet, the feet of the perfect parent. So we're going to take a few moments to do that. And then we'll sing together. So, Father, I praise you for who you are, and even now, for being the perfect parent. Meet us in this moment, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning into today's message. We hope to see you next Sunday. We would love to personally invite you to one of our services at 9 and 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center in Warsaw Community High School at One Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, review, and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.